We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Allen back to throw. Going to run it and keep it himself to the 40. Jumped over a man at the 45, and he gets the first down.
Howard Simon.
Cake vodka. It's not cupcake vodka. How many times do I have to tell you? It's cake vodka, not cupcake.
Jeremy White.
I haven't put on deodorant in about 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
So, bring on the Chiefs?
Maybe bring on the Ravens.
Right? little baby steps? You want to? No, bring on the Chiefs.
Bring on the Chiefs.
Come on, let's go.
Bring on the big test.
Absolutely. Bring it. Let's go. Let's play. Put the big boy pants on. Is that a Cowherd thing, right?
Yeah, who's
the
a little
big boy
bit.
Pants? Yeah, sorry.
I would say bring on the Titans. Bring on the Raiders.
The movie. You're talking about the football team.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think any one of these teams is a pushover, and I do think the Titans are not as good a test as the Chiefs, but I think the Bills will be underdogs going into that game.
Titans
in
game?
Tennessee.
Yes,
yeah, I do.
I would think so, yeah. I would think they'll be underdogs at home against Kansas City.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, they're a two-point favorite, I think, right? Was it 2 points for this game against the Vegas Raiders? I think they're two-point favorites.
Yes.
I would think they'd be underdog for each of the next two games, yeah. Mm. How much, I don't know. Were the Ravens the underdog last night, I assume? Or maybe I shouldn't assume that.
I don't think so. Did you watch much of the pregame?
I didn't watch a moment of the pregame.
Let me tell you, I don't know if the Chiefs did this, but they easily could have screen-grabbed the picks and, you know, tweeted out a good job. It was a unanimous Baltimore selection.
Why?
Yeah, you know what? As I'm watching, I'm thinking, yesterday had the sound of everybody on the Ravens, and the fan pick was Ravens, 51-49. Susie Colber and up and down, Mike Florio. Hmm. Everybody's not Mike Florio. Whoever's on ESPN, everybody's picking Booger. Everybody's picking the Ravens, and I think.
Wonder why?
I mean, they're good. Trust me, I get it. They have a really good defense, but at some point, you wanted to say like, just real quick here, everybody, just so we're clear, the reigning Super Bowl champions are playing a game. On the road with no fans there, with arguably the game's best player, and everybody is picking against them.
Yeah. Because they struggled to beat the Chargers?
I guess so. Yeah, they looked mortal against the Chargers.
They did.
And
yeah.
Then they come back and they find a way to, they kind of blew out the Ravens.
It was one of those games. It's kind of like the Bills-Jets game where the score might indicate, I mean, it. Baltimore got within seven, right? They got to 27-20,
and then
you felt, just wait till Mahomes gets on the field. I mean, it's just, I never really felt at any point last night. I texted you, first drive of the game, Baltimore's moving the ball. They get inside the 10-yard line. It's fourth and whatever at the nine, I think it was. And Harbaugh kicks a field goal. My first thought was, you're screwed. I mean, it's Kansas City. You can't go for field goals. You've got to get touchdowns. And you know, I never felt Baltimore was going to win that football game. Their defense completely shut down the passing game of the Ravens. And Mahomes was Mahomes.
Yep. They shut down the passing game, and Mark Andrews did a number to shut down the passing game, too.
He had a few of the drops he's last night.
Couple,
he did not help his quarterback out.
Yeah, a couple really big drops that would have made maybe a big difference.
One would have been a touchdown. Tough catch, but catchable
one
for him.
One would have been a huge 25 to 30-yard gain down the middle on their first drive, maybe.
Yeah, so, a little bit high, but again, I think for
it's on his hands,
him,
you know?
Yeah.
If that's if that's the Bills and we're talking Josh Allen and Tyler Kroft, I know that people are saying, come on, Kroft, you know, make that catch.
Right.
Make that catch for your quarterback. So
yeah, they didn't help him out.
Yeah, it was a strange kind of game. It was a like you said, like a blowout that you know, we talked about yesterday how one of my main feelings on comebacks and on how to manage a game in the Bills Rams is you can't come back if the offense never lets you. And that's exactly what happened last night. The Ravens would have staged a comeback if they could stop Kansas City like one more time.
And they had a couple in the third quarter,
they
right?
Did.
Kansas City fumbled, then they went,
yep.
They turned it over on downs, and that's when Baltimore got within seven points.
And within seven, this is the same thing. Like when the Rams got it to three, they never had to be able to get it back. You know, the Rams never had to get the lead. The offense could have just one more time, this game's over. And the Bills have done that a couple times with Josh Allen. I'm reminded of the Giants game last year.
Right.
Giants cut it to seven. Bills score. Game over. Thanks. Nice, cute comeback. This one's over.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the Chiefs did last night to the Ravens was, oh, you're having a comeback? Oh, I'm sorry. Not anymore. No. Patrick Mahomes is better than all of you.
Yeah.
The other thing that's about funny about last night's game was, sure, I mean, Lamar ran for a couple of pretty big runs.
Yes.
But it was Mahomes that won on the ground.
He had
a rushing touchdown. He had a crucial third down pickup on third and long.
Yeah.
Mahomes on the ground was a big factor.
His rushing touchdown was a walk-in, was a piece of cake.
When
Baltimore's offense got, I mean, their offense was bad in the first half. I think Lamar Jackson had like 25 yards of passing in the first half.
I'm pretty sure it was 35.
35. All right. He was at seven at one point.
I saw a lot of the Bills Mafia tweeting about only 35 yards passing in the first half.
And most of that came on the final drive before halftime.
Yeah.
Because they had a stat, I think before Baltimore's final drive, they had a stat, Baltimore? I think before their final drive, they had a stat that said he had seven passing yards through like a quarter and then three quarters of the second. But when their offense got going, it's because he started running. He started making plays with his legs, and that kind of got them going a little bit.
And they lost an entire possession because of a kick return for a touchdown.
Yeah,
so, not to say – it's just how it goes. If you get a kick return for a touchdown, your stats and a half are going to be way down because that's a full drive that you do get points for, but your offense doesn't actually get the ball.
Yeah. The best part of the night, though, I did go back and forth between be careful what you ask for and bring on the Chiefs. Look, if you're going to let's figure out how good the Bills are. Okay, then go against the king. You know, go against the you know, the beast of the neighborhood, the bully, whatever term you want to use. Let's see what you got. I mean, I'm more convinced than ever that they're going to have to score more than 30 points to beat Kansas City.
Right. You might be more confident in the offense and less confident in the defense.
Their offense is stupid. I mean, not just, Jeremy, not just weapons, not just the ability of the quarterback.
The design.
They've got so many different looks. They've got guys running all over the place and throwing. I mean, you could get confused just because of all the motion they're doing. And, you know, there was one play they made. I think they had a back on one side and maybe a wide receiver on the other next to Mahomes. He fakes left, he fakes right, he throws to Kelce over the middle. I mean, they have so many moving parts on their offense. You really have to not get, you know, confused, I guess, or start guessing and get out of position because they have so many things going on in their offensive possessions. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's very fun to watch. They ran a fullback
shovel pass. Yeah, underneath
and it didn't look stupid.
A little underhand. but that's the whole thing, right? That's the last guy on the field you'd worry about.
Yep.
And, you know, where's Hill? Where's Kelce? Where's Watkins? Where's whoever? And all of a sudden, nobody's covering the fullback in the middle of the field. And, I'm just going to underhand a shovel pass to him. I mean, it was great. And then they threw a tackle-eligible touchdown to Eric Fisher. If I'm Leslie Frazier, he's not thinking about this right now. He's thinking about Vegas. But, you know, in a short week, getting ready for Kansas City, that's not fun.
No.
I mean, there's just so many guys. Kelce alone would have me lose sleep in the week preparing to face Kansas City because I don't know how you match up with the guy.
Yeah.
He's such a presence in the middle of the field. It's just, like I said, I stayed up. I usually can get at least through the first quarter if the game's good, Sunday night, Monday night, I'll try and get to halftime. So I get to halftime last night. I wasn't overly tired. So I thought, you know what? Let me stay up a little bit. And I stayed up mainly to see Kansas City's offense. It is that good and that entertaining. that I want. I just, you want to see more of Mahomes and the Chiefs on the football field. He's one of the best watches in all of sports right now.
We talk a lot about Kelce. Who's covering Tyreek Hill?
Oh, I mean, well, that's the thing, too. You know, if you,
and then if
Kelce's such a presence, and then they've got these burners outside. You know,
yep.
They've got all
and
these
they've
speed,
got size,
and,
too.
And who's covering Mecole Hardman, who gets beat, who beats everybody deep for the bomb, and Sammy.
DeMarcus Robinson and Sammy,
right.
Yeah, right,
Sammy
Watkins.
And then, okay, if you deal with all that, then you got to worry about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I really, I love him going back to LSU. And then if you deal with all that, guess what? Mahomes can beat you with his legs. He'll run. When you think you've got everything covered, if you don't contain him, he'll get outside the edge and boom, he's done. It's just, there's so many different, look, I'm enamored with the Bills' weapons. This is a different stratosphere.
I'm not so sure I would agree with stratosphere. I think that they have better
they
weapons.
They are just, well, I mean, look, they have a, their tight end is better than anybody the Bills
That's
have at that
right.
position.
And Hill is probably,
he's unbelievably tough to stop.
Okay.
I mean,
running
it's
back
just,
there. Oh, yeah.
I think they're in their own tier offensively.
Yeah.
Let's maybe not. Maybe stratosphere is too much. Okay, they're not out there in the solar system all, but they're in their own tier.
You're probably right. Like the Bucs have better weapons than the Bills, probably.
Yeah, but they're not functioning at a level where
you think they could. That's right.
I mean, you're right. The Bucs' weapons are really good, but you know they're not putting up points. They don't do things like can't. You know, I mean, it was only two games, but technically, Baltimore was the number one scoring defense coming into the game. 27 points in the first half, and they should have had 30 if Butker hits a field goal in the first half against what we think is a very good Ravens defense with one of the deeper sets of cornerbacks in the National Football League, team that likes to blitz, shows you different looks, can get pressure on the quarterback, can cover in the secondary, 27 first half points. That's really impressive if you're watching the game and thinking, how do I stop these guys?
Now, if you watched last night, it was the first time you've ever seen Lamar Jackson. You probably weren't that impressed.
Yeah, you'd wonder what all the talk was about. That he can't win from the pocket. He's just a guy with legs.
Can I read you a couple of tweets that came across my feed when I woke up this morning?
Yeah.
One tweet from Guillermo says, hot take, Jackson's ceiling is lower than Allen's.
Yeah,
what's
I knew something like that was coming.
I mean, Lamar Jackson won the MVP.
He was very good passing from the pocket last year.
Yeah.
He elevated his game to another level. He went from a guy who just, watch out, he'll run, to a guy who beat you with the passing game last year. That's why I think people were so impressed with him, because he showed that it wasn't there last night for multiple reasons, but he did elevate himself into a guy that's not just going to run for first downs last year.
Andrew tweeted me, I haven't tweeted in probably 5 years, but my God, Allen's better than Jackson, and it's not close.
He did win, like you said,
he had the NFL
16-game body of work that produced an MVP award last year. Josh has had a really good three-game start. No offense, but I mean, I love everything from Josh so far, but the guy did have a 16-game body of work where he won the MVP, and they were the one seed.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be better than him forever, but, you know, the idea that you could say one of them's better and it's not close, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, to be totally honest, I'm not even balking too much. If you want to make the argument, Josh Allen's better. Like, I'm not saying I agree, but you can finally, he has three games where you can say it. You couldn't have said it before these three games.
Right.
So if you do want to say it, get out there and make that argument and go for it. But don't say it's not close.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think the nice thing about Josh is that, yes, he's put together three good games in a row.
Well, he's still trending up. He hasn't I mean, it's only three games, but a complete stinker where you'd say, like, oh, huh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you almost have this feeling watching this Bills offense, like, oh, they're going to score 30 every game. He's going to throw for 300 every game.
Right.
And the sky's the limit. Here we go. We're off on you know, this new world of ours, and that's great. So there are no setbacks yet. If he has three games where he throws for 210 and actually gets picked off again, because he hasn't been picked off in forever, outside of the one that shouldn't have counted.
Right.
You know, like, Josh has been playing unbelievable. And if he stays there, well, then he'll be one of the best five quarterbacks in football. But we'll see. You know, Lamar Jackson had a full season last year of one of the best years a guy's ever had playing the position from a running and passing standpoint.
And I think, honestly, that's, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I think that's another reason why, you know, you say bring, when I say, or you say, or whoever, bring on Kansas City, I think it's in large part because you're going to say, okay, we love what the Bills' offense is. It's wide open. It's aggressive. They're throwing the ball on first down. They're throwing the ball all the time. Three wide receivers, four wide receivers. Fantastic. They've got 93 points in the first three games. The Bills do. And so you're thinking, well, this is great. Let's see. Go against the team that has the best offense in the league, and let's see how good this offense is. But you know what? If you watched the game last night, I don't think enough people, because their offense is so amazing, nobody talks about their defense. 2 years ago, it was trash. And then they made a whole bunch of moves, and they brought in some big guys, and they made some big acquisitions to help their defensive line and their pass rush. And last year, it was good. And it was really good last night. Their defense is good. I mean, that I know we'll talk that week all about Mahomes and their weapons and can you put up 30-plus to win that game, but I don't know that people give enough credit to Kansas City's defense, who did a very good job last night. I mean, Baltimore ends up running the ball okay, good enough. That is their identity. But they were breaking up passes. They were doing, I mean, I know there were some drops, but they were breaking up passes. They took the wide receivers out of the game. They got some pressure on Lamar Jackson. I thought their defense played really well last night. So it's not a given the Bills will walk on the field on October 15th and put up 30. But I can't tell you how excited I am to see that matchup, just to see where the Bills stand against. There's no question that is the best team in the conference for sure, let alone probably the league, but in the conference for sure. There's four unbeaten teams in the conference. There's a clear number one.
Chiefs.
Yeah. And then you have the Bills, the Steelers, and the Titans, and you can probably throw them in a hat right now.
Maybe. The Steelers, yeah. The Steelers impressed me on opening night. I would say of those teams, who'd everybody beat, right? The Titans were favorites in each game,
yeah,
but didn't cover the spread.
Yeah, they've had three close wins so far.
They beat Minnesota, they beat Jacksonville, and then opening day, I forget who they beat.
And Pittsburgh did not look good against Denver. Isn't that the game Locke got hurt? Or anyway, they didn't play well against Denver. They beat them. They were down big against Houston and came back and beat Houston.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know who. That's why I thought. I think right now, I don't think there's a clear best of that three sets of teams there. I don't think there's a best team right now.
You pick the Bills later today, so you'll have them playing all three of these teams, by the way, which is, yeah, it's a nice Bills schedule to play the big boys. And Pittsburgh impresses me. The thing I think they have that the Bills don't right now is a defense that looks nasty.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen the Bills defense look like that before under Sean McDermott, and, you know, this reason to have faith that they can get things back on track. And, you know, from a EPA or points against standpoint, the Bills have not even really been that bad. But I think there's a little bit of cause for concern, because once they start playing really good offenses, what do they look like?
Yeah,
you want to talk about a team with weapons.
Yeah.
The Steelers have weapons, and their rookie Chase Claypool, they started throwing to him more than anybody. I think he led the team in targets yesterday.
Is that right?
Sunday. Uh-huh. He looks like a matchup problem for teams. Deontay Johnson, of course, Juju Smith-Schuster. The Steelers have a good offensive team. So I'm not sure if I could pick the Bills to beat them. I don't know if I could pick them to beat the Titans, just because right now, you know, the Bills had their first half against the Rams and looked good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
But Fitz was able to pitch and catch on them.
I think there's two things. This is why we don't trust you to pick the Bills, by the way, you turncoat. I think there are two, on the defense, I think there were two things you'd be worried about. First off, I mean, they had a couple of not good halves. The second half against Los Angeles, actually not good as being kind. They were awful in the second half against Los Angeles. And they weren't good in the second half against Miami either, when they blew the lead and then the offense bailed them out. You would worry about, although it wasn't as big a deal against Los Angeles, but the tight end picking them apart, the middle of the field, albeit Edmonds and Milano didn't play. And I think you'd still worry about the run defense for sure, because Gaskin had a nice game for the Dolphins and then Henderson ate him up the other day for the Rams. I'm not sure what to think about. Somebody called yesterday and basically the gist of the question was, should we be concerned or freaking out or panicking, whatever, about the defense? And I thought, not yet. I mean, I think you'd be, bring out the yellow flag. Don't wave anything beyond yellow at this point. But I'd be concerned about the run defense. I'm not as concerned about the pass rush. Levi Wallace bounced back with a good game, I think, against the Rams, a better game than he had against Miami for sure. I think Edmonds was probably playing at less than 100% because he didn't seem to be able to finish off plays that he would normally finish off. So I'm not concerned about them yet. But it's, you know, it's in the back of my mind because I think that, you know, they do have some big tests coming up. Derek Hent, you know, this game, maybe they get a break, depending on what's happening with the injuries for the two rookie wide receivers for the Raiders. They're both banged up. So maybe they get a break in this game, but Tannehill and Derrick Henry, and then the Chiefs game after that and all their weapons, there's some really good tests coming up for the Bills defense. I wouldn't panic, but it's certainly something worth keeping an eye on because they've had a couple of bad halves in the last two games.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe they're lacking something. You know, Leslie Frazier took questions on his Zoom call yesterday about the middle of the defense not having star, and he talked about how, you know, guys like Harrison Phillips and Quentin Jefferson and Butler and those guys in the middle kind of have to step it up. They don't have a really big body in the middle of the defense, so those guys have to step it up. And they did not have a good game against the Rams, so we'll see how that plays out. It is definitely a story worth tracking. Maybe not as much of a problem this Sunday, but it could be a big issue against the Titans and the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Titans, this is not the old, you know, the Marcus Mariota Titans where it was a struggle to get to 14. I mean, they can get to 30 points. I mean, they have that good an offense. Not Kansas City, but good.
Not Kansas City.
No.
And Derrick Henry's not really done a ton for them so far.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see his numbers, so I'm not sure start he's got.
Yeah, fantasy team, so, you know.
So he's underperforming?
You know.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's the number one way to know.
That's one of the main things about fantasy. You're aware of everybody's season. Yeah.
Not that great. He's averaging 100 yards a game, I guess. He's got 319 and two touchdowns. He finally bounced back. Oh, boy, let me check the game logs. Maybe he did have a good game.
Look at
recently.
You, Mr. Meany General Manager. He's averaging 100 yards a game.
Okay, he had 119 and two touchdowns against the Vikings. Prior to that, he'd had 116 and 84 with no touchdowns.
Yeah, so, the no touchdown thing kills you, right?
Well, you know, he's been fine. He's been fine.
Yeah.
But he's not, you know, it's funny. I just had somebody send a text to the station about Ryan Tannehill, that bum. I mean, the narrative was that Derrick Henry was the spark for that offense. It wasn't. Tannehill went in, and that team changed. And they became a top 10, top 5 offense last year. Went to the AFC Championship game. Had a lead on the Chiefs, you know. The Titans are good. They are real. They are good. They have a good defense, good weapons. It's a good matchup for the Bills. Not this week, but, of course, next week.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was fun last night. And,
well, one thing about the Ravens, Jack tweets in from Rochester, the Ravens and Lamar in particular are tough with the lead because of their defense and their running game, and Jackson's limitations may be magnified when trying to come from behind,
right,
reflected in his record when behind by more than a touchdown, which I think is 0-4.
That's one of the narratives about the Ravens that, you know,
it's good. They
don't
we
play
could say
that
narrative,
well from
it could
behind.
Also just be true. They don't play well from behind.
Correct.
I thought the same thing. Like, he is a great passer.
Yeah.
And if you watch that game last night, you see a team that they ran it. I want to say they ran it too much.
Yeah.
Early on.
That's their identity. That's what they love to do. They got three running backs and a running quarterback. And maybe that's why, like, that last night was the first time they trailed at halftime in a year. They hadn't trailed at halftime, I think, in almost a calendar year, like September 29th or something last year. So they build a lead and then they pound the ball at you. I mean, I think that's the identity of the Ravens offense, including the quarterback being able to use his legs to run. And then they'll throw in the occasional throw. They'll use their tight ends in the passing game and sprinkle that stuff in. But maybe that's why the whole they don't play well from behind, because they don't have an explosive passing attack, or they just – I don't know. I think their identity is to build a lead, and then we're going to throw all these guys at you running the football, and we're going to wear you down.
I wonder about the Ravens. It might be time to, or it might be worth, opening things up a bit. Hmm. Sure, you built an offense around Lamar Jackson as a runner, and he can run, and we know that. But he is a great passer.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, last night was a great example. I just thought, wow, that's a lot of Mark Ingram. It's a lot of... Early on, at least.
Yeah, Gus Edwards. I mean, they have all those.
Yeah.
And J.K. Dobbins. I mean, they have three running backs they can use.
I mean, Jackson only threw 200. I'm sorry. He threw 400 passes last year, 401 passes, which, you know, that's not a huge number.
No, but again, like I said, they were after the first month of the season. They led every game at halftime.
Right.
And they probably started running the ball to, you know, put the game away and everything. They weren't going to keep throwing it. So let me think. There was one other thing I was going to bring up at last night's game. I can't remember.
Was it?
Oh, it was. You know who's really good? Lewis Riddick.
Yes.
Is really good as an analyst. And him talking about Kansas City, like I was really glued in on, of course we were, the Bills don't play the Ravens, so we're glued in watching the Chiefs. What do you do? How does Baltimore attack them? And here's, you know, I can't remember if it was Riddick or Greasy. Maybe it was Riddick. Riddick's talking about, guys, they've tried everything possible. They've showed every possible look you could have on defense, and it doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes is eating them up. So I love listening to him, on the one hand, freaking me out because he's basically saying they're doing everything they can and none of it's working. But he also brought up a point, Jeremy, about when we get to that game, like what's the approach going to be? And here he is talking about you've got to play press coverage. You have to get up in these guys' faces. You can't sit back. You can't give them any cushion. You can't let Patrick Mahomes just pick you apart. I wonder how the Bills do approach that game. Speedy wide receivers, Kelce, who moves really well for a big tight end. Like, what strategy do you take to try and stop them? And I thought listening to him try and come up with a game plan of what he thought was the best approach to handle these guys was a good listen. I think he's done a nice job in the Monday Night Football booth.
Yeah, I agree. And Carl Ravitch is fine too. We're good with him.
I mean, Levy.
Steve Levy,
yeah.
I always do that with those two.
You got to say nice things about him. He's a SUNY grad.
Yeah.
So you got to be good to SUNY grads. It's Oswego, not Buff State, but whatever. We're all SUNY brothers and sisters.
A little bit of a letdown last night, I thought, as a game. Well, not from Mahomes.
No, it wasn't, because it wasn't close. It really wasn't.
It wasn't vintage Ravens.
No. Even when they got, like, even when they got to 27-20, it's 27, what was it, 27, I forget. There was a point where Harbaugh kicked a field goal. Like, he was going to go for it on fourth down. Well, I didn't like the first one. And then in the second half, he was going to go for the fourth down, and they got a false start. And then he sent the field goal team on. And I know why he did it, I guess, because he could get – it was 27-10. And he did it, I assume, to make it a two-possession game. But I just kept thinking, you've got to coach differently when you coach against Kansas City.
Yep.
Against them more than any other team in the league, you have to have a different mindset. And maybe that's one of the reasons why I also thought Baltimore doesn't – just Lamar's not throwing the ball really well. When he does throw it, they're dropping it, and their coach is playing for field goals. It's just not a formula to beat Kansas City.
Not a great night for them.
No.
All right. You're picking the Bills today. It's exciting. A lot going on.
All right. I should probably put a little effort into that then.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, now you have to think more than you ever did because people are really going to care about it.
No, I don't have to. Please, don't say that about me. How many years have you been with me? You know I don't think. I try not to think that much. I do. My thinking days are behind me. So, yes, we'll do that in, 8:15, wherever you guys want to do that.
Yeah, that works.
So maybe there'll be fans in the stands when the Chiefs are here on October 15th, Mr. White. We shall delve into that in a moment. County executive coming out yesterday, throwing out some numbers for possible attendance figures and a plan how to get people in and out of the stadium safely. We'll talk about that in a moment. Happy Tuesday, everybody. So phone lines are always open. You can join us and add in a thought on whatever we are discussing at the given time, or if you'd like to bring in a different opinion, question, or comment. Of course, we're going to talk a lot about the Bills and Josh Allen and the start by the offense. 803-0550. Our phone lines are always open. We always encourage you to call in and chat with us. 888-550-2550 to join us this morning on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
$9,000. It's really kind of in the state's hands right now. I will say this, the Buffalo Bills have taken measures to offer what would be considered additional, not security per se, but precautions so that we all feel comfortable. I am comfortable saying now that the conversations I've had with the Bills in the state is I believe that at least 10%, which would be a little over 7,000 fans, would be safe as long as you had time, entry, and exit, which means the game may end and you would not be allowed to leave your section until your section is called. And you could not enter the stadium until a certain time before the game.
This is Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. The Bills, maybe they were doing a little scouting last night. We were, right? We all were. Watching the Chiefs and the Ravens. Kansas City wins this one 34-20. Patrick Mahomes threw for 385, four touchdown passes. He ran for a TD. The Chiefs are one of four teams that are now 3-0 in the AFC with the Bills and the Titans and the Steelers. And, of course, the Bills play all three of those teams on their schedule. Two coming up soon. The Seahawks will be without running back Chris Carson 1 to 2 weeks with a knee injury. The Bears name Nick Foles, their starter going forward, not just for Sunday, like the starter, period. Tariq Cohen, Bears running back, out for the season, ACL. The Lightning won the Cup. Last night, they beat the Dallas Stars. First Stanley Cup for Tampa since 2004. MLB playoffs open today in the wild card round. The Jays are in Tampa. That's a 5 o'clock game. The Yankees are at Cleveland. That is a 7 o'clock game. Doc Rivers will not be back as head coach of the LA Clippers. And the Preakness is Saturday. I completely forgot about that. Authentic at 9 to 5 is the morning line favorite for the finale of the Triple Crown races. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550.
Happy Waiver Tuesday in your fantasy leagues. Howard, I'm sorry. I gotta say, you were right that it was a good move for you to not be in the Guillotine League because Dan Hager, who is running your team, and you're the consultant, you got chopped.
Yeah, so it would have been out. Just basically like donating money.
Yeah, you would have just given us money and been out this fast. And you would have been yelling at me, this is stupid, why did I do this?
Why did I lose money? Yep.
And I would have said, well, you got to try again next year, you'll last longer.
You know what you are? You're Lucy. You're Lucy with the football. I just keep giving you money. The stupid playoff game against the Carolina Hurricanes that stunk. You know, buying Sabres tickets from you every season. And now this. You're just trying to squeeze me for money all the time. How bad was it? Was he on the chopping block going into the game last night and then just lost, basically?
You had McCaffrey. You got hurt, and your team is in real trouble. You know, your number one pick is gone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you guys got exposed last night. You had both Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown.
Oh,
if you had any Ravens last night, you did not have the night you wanted to.
See, it's a good thing I didn't know who was on the roster that I consult for, because if I knew I had Mark Andrews, or Dan had – I didn't do any of the work. Dan had Mark Andrews – I would have been yelling at the television set last night when he dropped those balls.
The good news is you had such a bad week, it would not have mattered.
Oh, well, I feel better now. Thanks. It wasn't really sweating it out is where you're going with that one.
Have you taken a look at week 4 for Survivor picks?
I have not. I'm still enjoying making it through week 3. I consult for one of my brothers constantly texts me and Jonathan each week for Survivor picks, and so far he's still alive, so I'm still celebrating week 3.
I think Bucks will be a popular one this week. They're home against the Chargers.
We just used the Bucks. I told them to use Tampa at Denver the other day.
One thing about the Bucks, I would like to say this. I saw Colin Cowherd posted his Super Bowl tiers, right? Which, you know, that's the game. Sometimes what we do is we look at somebody else's opinion and we give our opinion on that opinion. So he listed three teams that
really
were.
Sorry, Brayton tweeted out a guillotine coming down.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, come on.
It's a good
That's kind of merciless.
He got chopped.
Wow.
So his top three for the Super Bowl,
yeah,
top tier, is Baltimore, Kansas City, and Tampa.
Mm.
Now, well, I would not put Tampa there yet at
no,
all.
No.
They've not yet beaten a good team. They beat Denver.
They beat the Saints in week one.
They beat the Saints, and the Saints are not good.
They should have beaten Denver. I mean, that was a pretty solid survivor pick with Jeff Driscoll and all the injuries they have.
They lost to the Saints.
That's right. They lost in week. Then they beat. Who'd they beat in week two? Carolina?
Yes.
Okay, and then
they beat
Denver.
Carolina and Denver, and they lost to the Saints, and the Saints have been revealed to not be that good, at least so far.
No, isn't that like Cowherd just loves Brady?
So probably.
He's probably going with that because of Brady?
I mean, don't tell anybody I said this. The Bills have a bigger claim to that spot than the Bucs.
They
have one good win.
They beat the Rams, yeah.
Maybe Baltimore drops off that. The second tier for Cowherd's Super Bowl contender tiers, he has the Packers, the Seahawks, and the Patriots.
I think he's underselling the Seahawks.
Maybe. And is he overselling the Patriots? The Patriots have a loss, right?
Yeah.
They have one loss.
Yeah.
They lost to Seattle.
On the
last play. Like, they easily could have won that game.
Yeah.
And one thing about this Bills team that, it's funny. For the first time, we're living in a new world with all these new emotions and new feelings. And for the first time in my Bills fan life and this show, I am upset about how long we have to wait to see the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Bills to play the Patriots this week. I want it the week after. I want it as soon as possible. It's so far away.
Yeah, November 1st, right?
Yeah, we're going to build up so much anticipation for that game. And it doesn't mean I'm looking past the others. But, you know, the division, obviously, is really important. And if you want the Bills to get their due, one of the best ways to do that is to stamp division champions on a shirt and to finish ahead of the Patriots. And to not get that matchup for months is just over here pacing. Like, hey, fine, give me the Raiders, give me the Titans, give me the Chiefs. But when do you play the Patriots?
Well, the good news is, okay, so the Bills will be probably no worse than 5-2 going into that game. We think the New England Patriots will have at least two losses. I mean, you'd be able to, if you are tied, you break a tie, you get the head-to-head, you would be, that would be 4-0 in the division if you win that game. So, you know, things are, I know what you're saying. I haven't thought about that game because it does feel like it's 4 months away. I'm thinking more about Kansas City. More, if I had to say which game ahead of you are you looking at, I think more about Kansas City than the New England game. For one thing, it's 2 weeks earlier. I mean, it just seems like New England is just in the distance, like too far in the distance. I keep thinking about just the test of the Kansas City Chiefs. But, hey, good news. Then you must have been happy with the Week 5 schedule change, pushing New England away from the same game time as the Bills, and now you can watch New England on national TV.
I am happy about that, yeah.
Playing Denver. I mean, they should wax Denver. I don't know.
I need them pushed away from the Bills when they play the Chiefs, though.
This week,
the Bills play the Raiders, and that's at the same time, so I don't get to see that one.
Yeah, even last week, too. Like, it's too bad. Like, the Patriots were playing the Raiders at the same time as the Bills game. I'd like to, the most I've seen of the Patriots was some of their Seattle game, the first half of their Seattle game. I'd like to see a little bit more of what everybody's talking about and how Cam looks and all that, but I haven't really thought that much about that game just yet. I've been thinking more about this stretch, you know, we're all pretty confident they'll beat the Jets, and then that sets you up for that first New England matchup.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? The Jets might have Greg Williams as their head coach at that point.
Yeah, you'd think so, right?
Well, it would be really funny if they lost to Denver on Thursday night with either Jeff Driscoll or Brett Rippon playing quarterback.
One thing that Bills fans, we are able to do pretty well is imagine the worst-case scenario. Like, we're good at that, right?
Oh, I was doing that when the Rams went up the other day and thinking the Bills were going 2-4.
I know, right?
Okay, that was a little fatalistic.
It can get even bigger than that, right? Think about when it was, oh, man, the Patriots are going to tank for Trevor Lawrence, and then it's going to be terrible. Oh, my God, we're going to get the worst.
Yeah.
The new one, which is actually a pretty creative and pretty good one, is that the Jets are going to finish last.
Yep.
They're going to draft Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
And then?
Miami's got Houston's pick.
No, the Jets are then going to hire Brian Daboll.
No. Can there be a clause in his contract that he can't take a head coaching job in the division?
This is the scenario that some nightmarish Bills fans have thought about.
Yeah, I don't like that scenario. I really don't.
You could also add to that that they're going to trade Sam Darnold to the Patriots and Bill Belichick's going to craft him into the next Tom Brady.
And then Tua steps in and he's really good in Miami and boom, there you go. The division is really good quarterbacks for 10 years.
That could happen. You could find your guy, and then all of a sudden, instead of the Patriots, who played in the worst division for 20 years,
that's
just
right.
playing the best division for 20 years,
yeah.
and it's just always a dogfight, you know? The good news is that more teams make the playoffs now, and I wonder how long it'll be before three teams from the same division make it, because it has happened before with six, and now with expanding the playoffs to seven per conference, it's going to happen, it's just a matter of when.
Maybe you'll see it this year with the NFC West.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks like, I don't know. I mean, Chicago's off to a 3-0 start. Green Bay's going to make the playoffs. The NFC East is going to be a one-bid division, basically. So I guess that leaves, you know, how many teams are coming in from the South? We'll see. It's if I had to vote, I think most people would tell you, it'd be the NFC West. Three of those four teams out in that division would be so good unless they just cannibalize each other all season long. 803-0550 to join us. Did you send us your Bills fan moment yet? Make sure you tweet us and tell us why you are the biggest Bills fan. We're looking for more entries this week, and maybe you'll be this week's winner. All you do is tweet us your story at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills fans, and you're in the running. Voila! We'll have one winner each week. That person gets a $50 gift card to the Bills team store. You'll be featured on WGR on game day, and you'll qualify for the grand prize, which is all the essentials for an unbelievable home game day experience. More details at WGR550.com, but here's the important detail. Just tweet us and tell us why you're the biggest Bills fan. At WGR550, hashtag...
Because I'm 6'10".
That would, yeah, then, well, is there a 7-foot, is there a 7-foot Bills fan out there, I guess, I would wonder. It's 6'10", you got a pretty good shot, I think.
Yeah.
Make sure you use the hashtag community of Bills fans. The Bills make
me wanna shout! We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to set it up.
Oh.
Big fella, Eric Fisher, the left tackle, eligible and then some. And some hot potato in the end zone. Touchdown, Chiefs.
Steve Levy on the call last night as the left tackle for the Chiefs, if you haven't been fantasy.
I think you're going to do a stat of the day here?
Stat of the year. My first ever stat of the year nominee.
All right. I think I know what your submission might be.
Yeah, I think you do too, and I'm glad you didn't. I was hoping I could sneak it through yesterday so I would have a chance to bring it up today.
Oh, okay. Then I don't, because this would have been based on the touchdown to Eric Fisher.
No, it's not. It's not football.
Okay.
Football.
All right.
No.
I'll give you one real quick then. It's not stat of the year.
Stat of the day, by the way, brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills.
Maybe this one got by you. Eric Fisher, the first number one overall pick to catch a touchdown pass since?
First number one overall pick.
Catch a touchdown pass.
Ooh, my.
Wow. There had to have been a quarterback to catch the
touchdown
pass.
That's what I was thinking. Like, yeah, right. Some gadget
it is
play.
Not. That is not a
no.
quarterback.
Okay.
Okay.
So running back, wide receiver.
That's a good, I mean, that's a good thought, too, though. Like, you know, hey, did Michael Vick catch a touchdown pass? But no.
Yeah. I know Marcus Mariota caught his own touchdown pass, but he was a second overall
Another
pick.
Offensive
yes,
lineman? Another?
No, it's not a lineman.
Well, it wouldn't be a tight end, right? A tight end wouldn't have gone number one, so it's right. Got to be a running back or a wide receiver.
That is correct.
Okay, Brayton, number one picks. Do you memorize NFL drafts too, or is that just a hockey thing?
Running
back, wide receiver, number one overall.
Dennis Chalowski.
Who's Dennis Chalowski? Boy, that's a good one. Wow. Man, I'm dying for an answer here.
It's a wide receiver.
It's got to be old, too. I would think it goes back a little while. No?
That old. Oh. I mean, what's old?
I was thinking like 80s. 80s,
nope.
Maybe into the 90s.
Recent. 90s.
Wide receiver number
Mid-90s.
Shoot.
Sure, text line is yelling at us right now.
Maybe. You can see him on television all the time still.
Chris
He's
Carter?
Actually, he was, nope. He was one of my favorite players. I always liked this guy. I thought he was a, you know, he's the prototypical painted as a diva receiver who Keyshawn Johnson, who played with a ton of grit.
Yeah, he did.
Played hard. Yeah. I liked Keyshawn a lot.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing at how, like, when a guy wants the ball, we get angry, as opposed to, what if he didn't want the ball? What if, like, yeah, big play. Go throw it to somebody else. I don't want the pressure. Like, yeah, give me the ball. I mean, it's funny. That's very funny. So I'm very excited about this. I've never had a Stat of the Year nominee. I think this is a real good one. Brayton already knows what it is, so I'll share it with you and the rest of the world at the same time. The NBA Finals start tomorrow night. The Lakers are playing the Miami Heat. This is from ESPN, tweeted this one out. There have been 37 straight NBA Finals with at least one player who would have played with Shaquille O'Neal during his career. The last time it didn't happen, the last time there was an NBA Finals without somebody who played with Shaq was 1984.
Wow.
That's my Stat of the Year nominee. Now, I didn't look it up to see exactly who it is. This would have come out before Miami beat Boston, so it's somebody on the Lakers roster. I was thinking Dwight Howard. Would they have played together in Orlando at any point? I'd have to do a little research on that, but that's my Stat of the Year nominee. Last time there was nobody in the finals that had a connection to Shaq, 1984.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good? Come on.
What are you trying to knock off the Stat of the Year?
Aaron Rodgers. By the way, they used that the other night on the Sunday night telecast. The Aaron Rodgers one touchdown pass to a first round pick.
Yeah. I don't think it beats that.
Didn't we elect to have kind of like a number of them and then kind of voted at the end of the year?
There's three others up there in the fine print. I just
toss
can't
it
read
up
it.
There.
Yeah, why not?
I'll toss it up there. Brayton, you're going to have to add this to make
it earns a bid into the end of year tournament.
You know what? You guys have made my day because I've never contributed to Stat of the Year, ever. I've never graduated beyond. I'm like JV. I've never made varsity. I've had Stat of the Day, but I've never made it to varsity. I can't wait to run home and tell my parents I made the varsity squad. So that's pretty cool. I think I'm gonna have to get like a hoodie. Like I finally made it to Stat of the Year nominee. That's very good. Speaking of hoodies, how you doing on sales there? Hashtag fall is elite. When am I getting mine? Is it coming in this week or next week? Just shipping soon, right?
By the way, your Stat of the Year has to be pulled off the board because Shaq played with LeBron.
Oh, okay, but
that's the point.
That is the point.
Not that it's happening.
No,
this year.
No. It is happening.
We're still going.
This is the continuing of the streak.
Okay,
every year since 1980. This is the 37th straight. It's LeBron. Thank you. That was 37th straight year. A teammate of Shaq is in the NBA finals.
So it didn't end. It keeps.
No,
going.
It keeps going. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
the Fall's Elite hoodies. We've sold over 600.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hoodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So thanks to Nick Mandola, who helped put together a design, and also Jim Libertor, who I met on Twitter, who's done some work for this. We've raised about $7,300.
Wow, that's fantastic.
For the Western New York Perinatal Bereavement Network. I told everybody it's phase two now. Phase two is where we all wear our Fall is Elite or Elite Season hoodies out on the town, and you see somebody else with one, and you wave to them like people in Jeeps do. You know, and like a Jeep driver sees a Jeep, you're like,
sure.
You wave. Or motorcycles, like, yeah.
Bus drivers. I feel like bus drivers do that to each other.
Right.
You know?
Hey, brother, what's up?
Yeah. Like, you're in the union.
Love you. Love Fall.
Yeah.
Good to see you out here.
Do I have to do, like, a little heart tap or something like that?
Anything you want.
Okay.
Actually, what you do is you make a hand motion of falling leaves. That's our secret handshake. Yeah.
Guess what I did yesterday, Mr. Fall is Elite?
Ooh, I'm excited. Raked?
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started.
I got leaves on the pool cover. I got leaves in the backyard. Yeah, I'm raking leaves yesterday.
All right.
Yeah.
You can go to bonfire.com/fallisElite to get in on our very exclusive club.
Well, I mean, it's not that. Yeah, I mean, I'm here, no, so it can't be that exclusive. Yeah.
You buy a – not a jersey. You buy a hoodie. Mm-hmm. We do have a third jersey ready.
Did you get it approved?
Yeah, it's been approved.
Very good.
We're just discussing launch ideas. We'll take pictures of the corner and tweet them out. Yeah, so whatever. We're raising money for the Western New York Perinatal Bereavement Network as October is National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. But, you know, $7,000. I couldn't be more grateful to everybody that's bought one, contributed for, you know, this is kind of a stupid idea. Like, maybe this will work.
Hey, it's Western New York. When there's a good cause and we get clothing out of it, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Of course, and it's fall. I mean, I don't know how many other seasons could sell 600 hoodies.
Yeah,
you're not
getting a spring hoodie
that's selling 600.
Well, no.
And how many summer hoodies would sell? Huh?
I'm going to guess
many.
Very few.
That's right.
Well, because you don't wear a hoodie in the summer.
That's not important.
Okay, if you went with a summer short sleeve shirt. Well, maybe that. I don't know if that would sell either. But.
Come on. Somebody wears a shirt that just says, I like summer.
I like summer.
Actually, that
I
might
would.
Be a good idea. I might buy that shirt.
<I would. laughs> All right. When we get back, we kind of teased it. We actually never talked about it. We'll get into more about what the plan might be for fans, some fans, maybe about 7,000 to be at the stadium for the game against the Chiefs. That's coming up in a moment. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.